Kevin Woodley. And Woodley, today a couple goalies signed. Let's start with that Carter Hart. Really tough season last year. You know, I saw today he had some comments about he's going to just reset and he'll get himself going today. But, you know, A, does the contract help, like, just kind of put that out of his mind? And B, do the changes up front aid him in any way?
Yeah, kind of wait and see on what, I mean, changes up front don't help him so much as changes on the back end, right? Like, and there's been a lot there. So, but there's also a lot of questions. Like, you know, there are a lot of people that are not so certain about some of the moves that have been made. What does, you know, what does the Ristolainen do for you defensively? I've seen varying opinions on that, obviously. So, listen, like, there's just a lot of variables here when it comes to Carter Hart. You've got the team in front of him. Can they be better defensively? You've got his own game in terms of which way does he go this summer heading into next season? I saw signs by the end of last year that some of what I would consider to be foundational components of his game were, I don't even think slipping is the right way. It's like he had gone away from them. It almost looked like, again, from the outside, it almost looked like maybe he was working, like chasing change. And that's fine. But when you chase change for the sake of change, my fear is you're changing him to do things that every other goaltender does. And there are things that Carter did that were a little bit different and a little bit ahead of the curve in terms of some of you know, the efficiency and the mechanics and the movement and the way he does things that are what made him special. And if so, if you don't double down on that, if you chase change rather than doubling down on what made him special in the first place, I'm curious to see what happens. And that's where I'm not sure. Like, I just don't know Strudy. I don't know if he's going to come back looking like the goalie. And I don't mean, everyone's like, is he going to look like the guy from 2 years ago? I don't mean, like, is he stopping pucks? I mean, like, how he moves, the mechanics, the way he moves around the ice, the way he initiates his movement, whether he gets spread out on lateral plays or beats them on his skates. There are all very specific sort of technical and mechanical, biomechanical components to that. And if I see him go back to the way he did it 2 years ago and have the trust and have the support that that's going to work, I like his chances better than chasing the changes that I saw last year, which left him spread out and opened up and behind on plays and just not Carter Hart. And so I'm really curious to see what happens there. When you hear him talk about reset, I guess that would be my expectation, that he goes back to his foundation. But if not, it's going to be interesting to see whether he can make other changes. Now, then the third part of that is the mystique is gone. Like, this is going to be tough for him anyways, because he came into the league and had some early success and built a bit of a reputation, not just, you know, amongst fans and observers, but amongst shooters. And that's gone after last year. And as you know, that confidence of, you know, not just from a goalie standpoint, but as from a shooter standpoint, like, oh, man, like, look at this guy. It's a Carey Price factor. And there was a lot of that in Carter's game. He's always ahead of the play. He's always set. He's always square. There's nothing there. And I thought there were elements of that early in his career, but they are right out the window now. And as you know, that's a tough one to get back. It's kind of an intangible. It's hard to sort of, you know, it's hard to quantify, but you're going to know it if you see it. And that's a tough one for him to get back, because once that cat's out of the bag, it's tough to put back in.
Shifting over to them, to Oilers, you know, Mike Smith, Mikko Koskinen, and then Stalock, though, you know, it seems like those are the three goalies the Oilers will have. But Stuart Skinner recently signed another contract. How do you project a player like that? Like, where could Stuart Skinner be this time next year and 2 years from now when that contract goes up?
Yeah, I think you're hoping this time next year, a guy who's ready to push for the backup spot, right? Like, that would be your hope internally, on a reasonable contract for a team that has cap issues as well. So, he took a big step last year, and this is where I have to admit a mistake in my judgment. Because when he got that start, you know, Mikko Koskinen was overplaying early in the year with Mike Smith out. They had brought in Troy Grosnick, and they gave the start to Skinner instead of Grosnick, And I kind of question that. I think I question that with Gregor on the air. Like, you know, you brought Grosnick up here. He's got more experience. He's proven. Like, why not give him that shot? And yet they rewarded Stuart Skinner for all the work he'd been putting in. And he got the win in his first NHL start. And let's be honest, it wasn't always pretty. There were times where, you know, he looked a little overmatched. But the strides he took after they sent him down, I believe, can be directly related to giving him that start. Because he came out of it not thinking, all right, I'm here, I'm in the NHL. You know, like talking to Dustin Schwartz, their goaltending coach, like the first thing he said after that game to Dustin was, I got a lot of work to do. And so that, I don't know that he needed a wake-up call, but certainly nice to sort of get that taste, have it end successfully, but also have it with a goaltender who sees it for what it is rather than be like, oh, I'm here, I'm arrived, I don't need to go back. Instead, he's like, man, like, this is different, and I've got some work to do to be ready for this on a full-time basis. And you saw what he did in the American Hockey League. So as much as at the time it was easy for me to be critical of it, I was wrong. They were right. That was an important start, not just because he got the win and they gave Mikko Koskinen a night off, but that was an important start for the career arc of Stuart Skinner, and I don't think it's a coincidence that it's taken off since.
You know, as we're joined by Kevin Woolley from InGoal Magazine, I can share a similar. When I was 20, I got called up for one game. Then the next game, I just sat on the bench, didn't play. But for me, it was like, oh my God, I can actually play with these guys. I wasn't perfect, but I'm like, I can play with these guys. I'm big enough, strong enough. I know I have to work on some stuff. And it really got my confidence. Now, it took me 2 years to get back, and I hope for Stuart Skinner, it doesn't take him that long. But getting that beak wet is really important. So I love it when guys get up there and play. And I thought Skinner looked nervous as hell, but you know what? You are going to be nervous. Like, it's hard playing your first NHL game. So, you know, with the Oilers now having Mike Smith and you know, he's at his camp in Cologne. I think that your partner's there checking it out. But what does a split look like between, and we're assuming it's Mikko and Mike Smith for this conversation, what does a game split look like to maximize, you know, the skills, abilities, and rest of all, of both those goalies?
Well, I was going to, you know what, I'd actually go with all of them, because I like where the Oilers are set up with Alex Daluk in the three hole. And it'd be interesting to see, it's going to be really interesting to see to sort of follow waivers, and I hope they handle waivers a lot better this year compared to last year. Like if he's not part of the plan, send him early so you don't risk losing him. What does that split look like? Like, if you really have playoff ambitions, I think that split has to be, you know, a lot closer to 50-50 than a lot of people might consider out of the gate, just given the success that Mike Smith had last year. And this isn't an age thing. Like, Mike Smith's a warrior. But this is more about, this season is going to be an absolute grind for goaltenders. You are going to need a good 1B, and I do believe that Mikko Koskinen can be that. And I know there's a lot of discussion about finding better options, but the truth is, 2 years ago, he was really good. Last year, obviously, it didn't go as well. The start, overplaying him. I think if you find a nice rhythm where you don't have to overplay him and you've got an insurance policy like Stalock that allows you to maintain that, even if Mike does miss a little time, I think he can be that guy still. But as far as the game played total, like, we're looking at a condensed season with an all-star game, and so far it looks like an Olympic break and regular travel. Like, last year is going to look like a cakewalk for the goaltenders compared to this year. And we got no more taxi squad strutty. There's no more third goaltender to come in and mop up the tough part of practice. Like, this is going to be an incredibly demanding year on goaltenders. And so I think you need to be cognizant of, you know, wear and tear and finding a balance for Mikko and finding a balance for Mike. And this is the thing about Mike Smith. Like, he's so competitive. He wants to play all the time. And you have to sort of have the ability and the authority to say when, you know what? Yeah, I know maybe last game, you know, didn't go and you feel like you want it and you want to get back in there right away, or you've won three in a row and you want that four start, but, like, you have to be able to say no to him. You know, I remember the year he was in Calgary. They didn't. He sort of dictated and took some starts that weren't supposed to be his. And because he felt good about the way things were going, he felt like the team needed him to win. And all he did was play himself into an injury and the other guy out of the league because he didn't get to play for so long. So you really do have to be careful of not overplaying him. And that has nothing, again, to do with his age. That's just this is going to be a tough schedule. And he's a guy who, you know, I think he's going to be less prone to injury this year, knock on wood here, because of some of the work he's doing. You know, up with Adam Francilia that we talked about last season, I really think that last year wasn't a blip. It was a bump. And as you said, he's back on the ice this week in Kelowna, Net 360 camp, working with the same trainer. I'll have some more information for you hopefully next week on some of the unique stuff they're doing up there. But, you know, I believe he'll come back and be the same guy you saw last year. But I still think I think he's probably better injury resistant because of the work he's doing, but I still think you have to be careful with his games played.
It seems to me like, you know, the first year of Smith and Miko, they just kind of alternated games, you know, and at least that's what I meant for a decent chunk of the season. So alternating games, knowing that as a goalie, whether it's goalie one, goalie B, whatever, and your goalie coach, does that make it easier to get into a rhythm, or because you're between your practice times and all that stuff, or does it make it harder to get a rhythm because you don't have those back-to-back starts?
Listen, I like alternating. I'm not sure any goalie does that's in an alternating situation because every guy in the league wants to be the guy night in and night out, and there would probably, you know, like I said, Mike is like super competitive, and there would probably be some times in a peer back and forth, altering schedule where he'd want another game. And that, you know, maybe that's a problem. But especially if Miko bounces back and plays like he did 2 years ago, I like that because it removes all the silliness of, you know, when you've got two guys competing for spots, it becomes competitive. Like, to me, the worst thing in the world is win and you're in. Like, what a stupid statement. What a stupid way to manage your goaltenders. Why would you add artificial pressure to a position that's already the most pressure-packed? Win and you're in. I could stand on my head, make 35 saves, give up one goal, and lose 1-0, and I don't get to play? Or the guy sitting on the bench is watching the other guy play well, and he's like, man, if I don't win my next start, I might not get to play for a couple weeks. That's not the stuff you want. Like, goalies work their butts off with mental coaches to try and stay in the moment. It's like golfers, one shot at a time. Easiest thing to say, hardest thing to do. Having a coach add the pressure of winning you're in and all those extra, like, winning you're in is projecting to the future. Like, every sports psychologist tells you not to. Stay in the moment. You can't think about the future. Winning you're in, that type of silliness, that's all about the future. And based on results, you often can't control because you can play well and lose. So there's probably a happy medium between back and forth and winning you're in, but we've seen teams in recent years make that back and forth work. I think if you were to give Pete DeBoer some truth serum, he probably wishes that straight alternation that he used with Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Lehner for the last 28 games of the season, which saw them both set franchise personal bests for win streaks, I bet you he wished he'd kept it up in the playoffs rather than having to wait late and go back and forth between the two.
And last one for Kevin Woodley, the Vancouver correspondent for NHL.com and managing partner of In Goal Magazine on the Gregor Show today, hosted by Jason Stradwick. Woodley, you know, there's so many people, there's a large section of the, you know, Oilers fan base and some media, they would like to see, you know, Mikko Koskinen's contract move out for a price and bring back someone in that is going to be, you know, maybe had a better year last year. People project to have a better year this next year. Is this something that you look at as a significant move? And it would be costly both to move the contract out and to bring a new player. And is that something you think would be add a lot of value to the Oilers' goaltender situation heading into what should be, you know, people hope, another step for maybe top 10 in NHL points?
I guess the question is what's coming back, right? Like, it's easy. It's very easy to look at that strategy and say, yeah, upgrade, right? But the question becomes, what's coming back and what's the cost? If you're talking about a high pick to, and this is one that I saw bounced around for a while on Oilers Twitter a little bit, and you'll have to correct me. I haven't been following as much strategy, so maybe I'm wrong whether this was ever a legitimate rumor or not. But the Jonas Korpisalo one. I like Jonas's game. I think there's a lot of upside there. Some of the skills that he excels at in terms of patience on the skates, and I've talked about this before, in a game that is increasingly lateral, it's one of his strengths. And when he's, you know, you saw what he's capable of in that playoff run against the Maple Leafs that year. But the reality of his past few regular seasons, if you combine them and look at adjusted numbers for shot quality, is he's actually not better than Mikko has been for the past two seasons. So are you really, and he is younger, and maybe he fits into your plans longer term. But is he better? Is he an upgrade? Is he worth, you know, he's also a UFA next summer, so you only get 1 year out of him too. And I guess that's the question. If you believe Mikko can play like he did two seasons ago, when you know, not like last year where you kind of ran him to the ground early. If you understand and accept the limitations of what he is, but also recognize there is upside there, then I don't know why you would spend assets, especially significant assets, to get out from under that contract the last year of it, especially, like, we said this last summer when they signed Mike Smith for 1 year, about look at what's coming for goaltending free agency, and then we had this massive game of musical chairs, and then the Oilers weren't part of it because they re-signed Mike, and, you know, I thought a pretty fair dollar number, right? Like, that would have kept you out of the elite class of unrestricted free agency anyways. Mike took less than Laurent Brossoit got to be the backup in Vegas. So that, to me, looks like a good signing as long as he stays healthy, and as we've already discussed, I think he will. But look to next year. Like, this is the thing. This game of musical chairs is going to be damn near annual. So why would you invest, like, honestly, why would you invest assets to bring in a goaltender whose results over the past two seasons, even if you see some upside there, are not necessarily better, probably arguably worse when you adjust them for sort of shot quality, and he's going to be UFA too. Like, that list next year is Fleury and Kemper and Merzlikens and Greiss and Corpusalo, Martin Jones, Braden Holtby, Pavel Francouz. You know, like, these are all guys that are unrestricted next year. Cal Peterson. You want to talk about getting a goalie? He's going to be 27 years old and on his way up still. Cal Peterson's a UFA next summer. There are a lot of options. So I just, it feels like, unless there's a clear upgrade, like, it's kind of like the Holtby move in Vancouver, right? They got rid of him, not because they saw Halak as an upgrade. They got rid of him to get rid of the cap money. So unless you're upgrading your team significantly in other areas by using the cap you save on Mikko Koskinen, it doesn't make sense to me to give up the asset for a goaltender who, at least results-wise, hasn't been better and, in fact, has been worse over the past 2 years. So it has to be the right guy, it has to be the right situation, and it has to be because that cap space allows you to make yourself better in other areas.
Absolutely awesome stuff. Kevin Woodley, we'll talk to you next Monday.
Perfect, Stridey. Good to catch up, and look forward to it next week.